Welcome to the newest Fairest Love podcast, Single, Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it's by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie Hinderer, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendships, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together. Hey, Monica.
Hey, Katie.
I'm excited. How are you? Good. I'm excited for another week of this.
I know, same. I think we're starting every episode with our joys.
Yeah, what brought us joy this week?
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I'll go first this time. I think it was kind of a rough week for me, I gotta be honest. Got some news that I was not expecting and was not very happy about. And so it was pretty rough, but I was out for a walk. It was cold. I was just not feeling it. I'm sure I was not smiling. And then suddenly there were just like little snow flurries. I mean, not enough to make any difference. I'm sure most people didn't even notice them. They did not last that long. But it just, I don't know, that in and of itself, just seeing these little flurries in front of me briefly for like a minute or two, just kind of helped me reshift my focus and realize like, wow, there's a whole bigger world out here than just me and my little issue and my little problem. And so I think, you know, those flurries brought me a lot of joy, and I definitely like continued the walk like much more, like with a pep in my step a little bit more than I had the first half of it. So I would say that is kind of a small little thing that brought me joy.
That's beautiful. Oh, I love that. For me, gosh, this has been a really hard week.
For a lot of people.
Things in the air. Yeah. And so I was like, nothing brought me joy this week. And, you know, and so when I was sitting down to think about, well, what did bring me joy? Because now I have to be on this podcast and talk about what gratitude or joy. I'm actually kind of grateful for that exercise in and of itself, right? Because I think you can get so swept up in everything was so heavy and difficult that you forget to see things or to be grateful for certain things. So, I mean, I think the practice in and of itself, I'm grateful for, because it made me really reflect a lot. And it took a while. Like, I really had to dig to find something, but something, I played basketball in college and I am in a pretty competitive league here in Illinois, actually. I resisted for a while playing, and now I'm back, and so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the opportunity and the ability to continue to play and to be able to move my body and participate in a sport that I love still.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that's where I'm at.
I love that you're still able to do those things that like brought you a lot of joy back in the day, right? Basketball was like a huge part of your life. People don't know this since they're new to the podcast, but Monica played all through high school, played all through college. Like, it was a big thing for her. So, you know, the fact that even now she can do it as an adult, I think is great.
And I was so resistant at first because I was like, it's not going to be the same, but I think, and it's not, I think when you can accept it for what it is and you can find a renewed appreciation and love for it, then, it brings you joy again. And like, you're like, okay, I'm out here doing what I can. And that's great.
That's so funny. This makes me think, this is really random, but you know, when you live in a center of Opus Dei or whatever, right? Like, often other people making the meals. And so, you know, for your birthday, you like request your favorite meal. And the first couple of years I requested like my favorite meal that my mom made, that our mom would make. And then I was always like so disappointed when we would have it, because it wasn't my mom's recipe, right? It wasn't mom's recipe. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like what? And then after a couple of years, I realized like, wait, I should start asking for like the recipes that the person who's cooking does really well, right? And like take joy in that like I get to have new birthday favorites and new birthday traditions and things like that, and it's like a little bit different. And just knowing like no one's gonna make lasagna as great as mom makes lasagna, or no one's gonna make, you know, the chicken enchiladas that she always would make the same way. Anyway, that's like totally random, but
just no, I love it. It's a good challenge, I think, right, for our listeners to think about, you know, joy from a different perspective, right? Can I put it in places instead of, you know, sometimes we have to really search for it, or we have to place it somewhere because it's not apparent in our life for a variety of reasons.
I think too, like, to remember that sometimes joy has to be a choice. Mm-hmm. Right? Like sometimes we're going to feel really joyful and we're like, we're in it and we're like, oh my gosh, yes, whatever. Maybe you were feeling that on Christmas morning, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're here this week attending Seek and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. Like this, like joy is here, right? Mm-hmm. Even if I'm exhausted. But there are other times when, you know, like weeks like we've had where we're like, this is rough. Like this is a rough week. I need to choose joy.
Yeah.
Right. I need to choose to look at things in this positive light. Mm-hmm. And maybe that means a gratitude journal. Maybe mm-hmm. that means, you know, for a while I had the practice of in the last 5 minutes of my time of like evening meditation, evening prayer, I would just start making a list in my journal of mm-hmm. the things that I was really grateful for that day. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. You know, and that was so helpful for me. I did that for a long, long time mm-hmm. until that kind of practice of just generally being able to give thanks like was, yeah. you know, created in me. And then I kind of stopped doing it, but it's making me think maybe I should do it again.
Love it. I think, and you can listen to the episode previous to this one, episode 2, where we talk about joy, but it's joy isn't contingent upon mm-hmm. external situations, circumstances, so forth. So, you know, that's why, okay, when the external is more difficult, it's maybe harder to identify joy, but that's when that it's a process, mm-hmm. right? It's a choice that we apply that lens, that overarching sense of knowing that we are sons and daughters of God.
Yeah.
Into my day-to-day life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the other thing we promised our listeners we would come back to, okay. It's not homework, but we did the little thought project from last week mm-hmm. where we talked about what would be the word and the saint for this mm-hmm. year for this podcast. So Katie, you want to tell them what we decided?
Yeah. So I'll tell you the saint. Monica can tell you the word, but I'm biased on this, obviously, because actually this is my patron saint. So we decided to go with St. Catherine of Siena this first round. We did not do it just because she's my patron and she's my homegirl, mm-hmm. but we did it because St. Catherine of Siena is like the patron saint of communications, right? Mm-hmm. She is the one who brought the Pope back from France during the Avignon Papacy. She was the one, she wrote letter after letter after letter to bring him back and to right a lot of wrongs that were happening in the Catholic mm-hmm. Church during her day. And a little known fact about her, because I think people often assume she was a religious.
I did.
Exactly. And I think she's often kind of shown in sort of religious garb, which might just be the period that she lived in, that people, but she was actually a laywoman. She was a third order Dominican, but she was a laywoman her whole life. So I think she's a great patron for us as we talk about singleness and sanctity and singleness. Mm-hmm. So we decided we're going to go with St. Catherine of Siena this first round. I could mm-hmm. tell you amazing million things about her, but maybe I'll spread them out over other episodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Love she goodness. Is a boss, man.
I love that. And our word is inspire. Mm-hmm. And I think that is one of our hopes for the podcast, that we inspire all single women of all walks of life, of all different, you know, places and spaces mm-hmm. to live their singleness well, right, mm-hmm. and holy. And so Catherine of Siena inspired the Pope to come home and to live the way he was supposed to be. So, I kind of thought, wow, I mean, like, I think these words and this saint just parallel so nicely for kind of the mission of this, you know, podcast.
Mm-hmm. She inspired a lot of people to go back to confession too. She had, I mean, she was a mystic, right? I mean, she had a lot of grace from God and corresponded to that grace too, right? But one of the things that she could do is she could smell the state of your soul.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Intimidating.
And so if you read her biography by Sigrid Undset, which I highly recommend, there's this fella who like takes to her kind of as a spiritual mother, but it like is a pretty big sinner. Okay. So the first couple of times she's like, you smell horrible. Like you smell bad. Like you need to get thee to confession, basically. Right. And he goes, and then for a while he lives a good life, and then he falls again, and then he'll come back and she'll be like, you need to go to confession again. I can tell. Right. But it's cool because he kind of plays a role throughout her life, and he just mm-hmm. keeps coming back. And I think he's a great, like, she really inspired him to keep struggling for holiness despite clearly some serious, you know, sins. Setback and sin and failing on his part. And he, you know, he remained very faithful to her and to our Lord as a result. So I think, you know, she's certainly very inspiring.
Purchase book immediately.
I'm telling you, it's so great.
I read it, you know, as a to inspire us to.
Yeah, we could read parts of it or whatever. I listened to it on an audiobook a couple of years ago, and then I just bought the book because I was like, I feel like I just need to own this.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
So that's great.
It's awesome. Amazing. So, with all that said, what's our topic for today, Katie?
Okay, this week we thought we would talk about friendship because I think, especially when you are single, friendship, family life, in what that looks like as a single person, and friendship are really, really, really important.
Yeah.
And I think often we struggle to be friends, to find friends, to be friends, to keep friendships, to let friendships go sometime. So anyway, we're going to dive into that and talk about that today and hopefully encourage you to make more friends and keep the old. Oh, that's an old Girl Scout song I did not mean to sing. But...
Oh, wow. I mean, you can sing. Just kidding.
I don't sing, but I'll speak the words to you. It goes, make new friends and keep the old. One is silver and the other is gold.
Wow. I never made it that far in Girl Scouts.
I didn't get much further than like year two, but
yeah. Just kicked out in brownies.
Classic.
Classic me. Okay.
A little too rebellious there.
Oh, yeah, probably. So I think, you know, we briefly said why we think friendship is important, but I think that singleness offers a really unique experience in which I have more time, energy, and attention to devote to those around me than maybe a married person has. And simply because their attentions are required elsewhere. Now, I will say, I think that a really important friendship for single people who are trying to get married, their intention is to get married, I think it's really important to have married friends. Because I think that we should have friends who inspire us. So, I mean, I think for the big V vocation singles, Katie, you can talk about that next, of kind of like friendships that inspire. But I think that, you know, surround yourself with friends, married friends, who the relationship, the marriage inspires you. You learn things about maybe who you need to become to be more prepared for marriage and stuff, and areas of kind of growth for yourself. But that I think it's good to have friends who are not in the same state of life that you are at times and who inspire you.
I think it's true. I think that's even true for big V vocations, right? Like people who have vocations to celibacy, whatever that looks like, consecrated life, not lay faithful, they usually, right, have some kind of apostolic endeavor. They have some kind of calling. They have some kind of mission that comes along with the vocation that they were given, right? That they were called to by God. And I mean, 9 times out of 10, that means you're dealing with families or married people, married women, families, like their children, that kind of a thing. So you absolutely, like, how can you be a good friend? Mm-hmm. How can you do effective apostolate? How can you evangelize in the world today, whether you're single vocationally or situationally, if you don't have friends that are married, right? Because you, especially you when you're single, don't understand the plight of the married woman on your own, right? And so to have those friends that help you understand that can be really helpful.
I think singleness is such a great opportunity to really develop friendships. Now, I think that some people can feel overwhelmed with friendships today. They're hard to make as adults. I think, and single people will say the same thing, of dating is hard. Finding people is hard. Our society has made it difficult to have really authentic and genuine connections. Not impossible. Really? It just means I think we have to be more intentional with how and where we spend our time and what we do. And so I think an important kind of caveat to this is that there's multiple levels of friendship. It's Aquinas or Augustine who talks about the levels of friendship. Which one of them?
It's a great question. I'm kind of drawing a blank.
I was giving a talk about this the other day.
C.S. Lewis talks about the different levels of friendship too. Utility.
It's Aquinas, but it's okay. Comment in the comment if I'm wrong. That's fine. We'll have a correction corner. So we want to be careful that not every friendship can be this ultimate highest friendship, and that there's different levels. Like, I think kind of how I break it down is like friends who fill my cup, Right? I'm with them and it takes zero effort. I have friends that require zero effort from me. Mm-hmm. They don't drain me. So when I'm at my lowest, I can show up and be around them because I'm loved, I'm cared for in that space. Mm-hmm. And that's so important to have friendships that fill your cup.
Yep.
We just talked about friendships who inspire, mm-hmm. right? So maybe that is a little work. Maybe it is a little outside our comfort zone. Maybe it is kind of a stretch. And then friendships that require work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think most friendships are going to fall, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think most friendships at least start off as friendships that require work.
Yeah.
And then eventually you probably, for some of them, you're going to get to the point where this requires no effort, that you guys are in sync, that this is working. And honestly, you might hit that point and you might hit that stride for a couple of years and then you might fall back into this friendship needs work, right? Yeah. I have a good friend down here in St. Louis who I met years and years and years ago. When I lived here previously, we became good friends then. We stayed in touch while I didn't live here. When I moved back, we reconnected. And I've been here now 4 years or so. And we went 2 years while I was living in St. Louis. We lived 35 minutes apart, not seeing each other. And I was like, what the heck? And I would like message her. You know, I'd text her and be like, yo, girl, like, are we getting together? Like, are we getting a beer? And she'd be like, sorry, I'm busy. Sorry, I'm busy. Sorry, I'm busy. And I'm like, what the heck? And I was just about to be like, all right, clearly this friendship has run its course. That's fine. Like, I'm not going to message again, right? And then she reached out and she was like, well, let's get breakfast. Like, it's been way too long. And I was like, agreed. It has. Agreed. And we got breakfast and like fell back into immediately that like easy rapport, that whatever. Now we're back to, you know, texting and messaging much more frequently. We've got a date to see each other in January, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but, you know, for 2 years, I was like, what the heck is happening, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that happens sometimes. And I think that's okay to acknowledge that all friendship isn't easy.
Or permanent. Mm. And I think sometimes we struggle with that, right? Like, I did for so much of my life where it was kind of, why would I invest in friendships or these things if they're not going to last? Like, this is so temporary. And I, you know, that mindset is really, I mean, for me, was more based out of like fear of losing people. Like, why get attached if I'll lose people? And I don't like doing that. And so friendship in some sense requires risk, right? Mm-hmm. I actually have to put myself out there. So, you know, for all of you who love Brené Brown as much as we do, that vulnerability, she's the queen, mm-hmm. you know, it requires us to be vulnerable, to build those connections with people. And even people maybe that are going to require a little bit more work. And even the ones who, like, I have some friendships that are so much fun, but they don't fill my cup in the same way as my like steadfast, evenly yoked friendships do.
Sure.
Right. So like, I have a friend from one of my CrossFit gyms.
Mm-hmm.
We could not be more opposite of people, like in every single like political, spiritual outlook on life. We are polar opposites, but I think she's lovely. I love her so much. And we have a blast when we're together. Does she fill my cup the same way my friends of 20 years do, where we are like evenly yoked on everything? No.
Yeah.
But are they important? Yes.
I think that's a really good point though, right? Like, I think it can be really tempting, I think especially in Catholic circles, to be like, I need to find my core group of friends that think like I do, that kind of live the life that I live, that want to, you know, live this life. And like, that's all I need. And I think we do a disservice to ourselves, but even more so to the world, to God, if we only create this little bubble of friends who are just like us. Because how do you evangelize? How do you change the world? How do you bring God to all corners of the earth, like we were told to do, if we only have friends that are the exact same as us? I have a good friend similar, Monica, that we bonded over craft beer and we could not be more polar opposite. You know, she's politically, socially, religiously, she's a, you know, confessed atheist, posts on National Atheist Day every year, you know, has two kids on her second marriage, whatever, right? All the things. But we both love craft beer. And we both love seeking truth. Now, I think her truth is a little off, but we agree kind of on some basic cores of truth and things like that. And we're really, really good friends. And I look forward to conversations with her. Now, does she fill my bucket the same way?
No.
People who, you know, I can also talk theologically and religiously and spiritually and no. But I can also have conversations with her that maybe I don't have with some of my friends who maybe do agree a little bit more, because they're going to tell me exactly what I want to hear maybe. And she's going to be like, well, I don't know. Have you thought about this? And I'll be like, yeah, maybe not. So I think it's super important to have friends who are different backgrounds, different walks of life, different stages of life, like we talked about earlier too.
Yeah. And I think that those can't be the only friends you have, right? You need this like steady, sturdy foundation to go forth from. And we come back and we get filled and we go. And I think I want to speak to a little bit this idea of the apostolate or evangelization in friendship. And Kitty, you know, challenge me if you disagree. I love a good challenge. I think that we have to reimagine how we view the apostolate of friendship, or even evangelizing in the peripheries and in the world around us, from, you know, preaching and pushing and winning and being like, well, this is what it is, right? And move more into witnessing that, you know, you can actually do a lot by simply living who you are and living that well, right? Because Christ shines through that. If we're doing this well, Christ shines through that.
Yep.
And you really don't have to say much preachy, churchy stuff to friends who are maybe a little different from you or a lot different for them to notice, right? Or for them to see. And sometimes I think Catholics can get nervous about, I need to say things. And there's a time and a place, don't get me wrong, to be very vocal about what is right and wrong in our beliefs and stuff. But when we speak about friendship, we want to build a really loving foundation or connection with someone first. So if it's connecting over craft beer or CrossFit, great. And that's where the foundation is going to be as you live authentically who you are. And they're going to say like, huh, that is such a different person. Right. And so I think that's kind of the challenge here is,
right,
can I be who I am and live that well so that I can be a living witness in all my friendships, no matter what type they are?
I mean, I absolutely agree with you. I don't disagree at all. I think, and you know, people pick up on that. People pick up on, even if you're not like, you should go to church, do you believe in our Lord Jesus Christ? Like all of that kind of stuff. Again, this friend of mine from St. Louis, raised Baptist, doesn't really practice now anymore, et cetera. But like, she just lost her job. And so she messaged me and was like, hey, like I just lost my job. She's been there 13 years. She's like, it's really rough. Like I'm having a hard time. And I wrote back and I was like, oh my gosh, girl, I'm so sorry. Like, was this out of the blue? Like, I'll pray for you. That simple thing. She wrote back and she's like, thank you so much. Like, I'll take all the prayers, right? Like that. And I know she reached out to me because she was like, I need Katie, right? Like, I need her on my side. I need her prayer, but I'm not going to like ask her for that. But like, I know that's what she's going to say. Because that's the friendship we have. That's the relationship we have. But I'm not every time we sit down being like, Kristen, let's hold hands and I'll pray with you.
Yeah.
Like that's not right. Like I don't need to evangelize that way. I don't need to bring Christ to the world and to her in that way. But she knows, like, you know, she'll be like, let's meet at this time. And I'm like, well, I'm going to mass. So like I can meet you afterwards. You know, like those kinds of things. That's like a natural part of who you are. It's a natural part of that conversation. And yeah.
I think for our listeners who are struggling with, well, like, how do you find friends? And I think, honestly, I think that the hardest age for this is 23, 24. Gosh, right out of college in the States, and it's like a doozy. Your 20s, rough. I'm happy to be out of them. Hopefully 30s, we're on the upswing here. But, you know, no longer are you in a setting or situation where the people of your age group are in abundance. In the dining hall, in your dorm, at church. Like now you go to church and you're like, why is the average age 80?
Right.
What's happening, right?
Yeah.
So it takes more intentionality here. And so I think fostering and creating friendships, I think my first recommendation always, and this is true for you girlies who are dating, is to do what you love and do that well. So I'm back in basketball and like, you know, maybe one or two of these girls I played with in college, like a long time ago, but the vast majority of people, I don't know, but I'm doing what I love and they're doing what they love. And here's an instant bonding thing for us, right? That like,
absolutely.
If I'm going to go out and be social, And this is what I said. One time I had a client who was like crying over this volleyball league that she was doing because it was like this Catholic volleyball league and she's trying to find someone. And I said, do you like volleyball? And she goes, no. And I was like, stop going.
Yeah.
Because if the only mission is to find someone, I have to make a friend or I have to find a boyfriend somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't happen. I've just had a miserable 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, go do things that regardless of those secondary or tertiary outcomes still brings you joy.
Yeah.
You still enjoy.
I mean, I think that's a great lesson for like how to make friends, right? Like, so one of the things towards the end of this year, and I think it's going to be one of my 2025 goals, is like just to make new friends. Like, Monica has a ton of friends and she's got, I mean, how many weddings have you been in, Monica? Way too many.
I've been to 9.
Yeah. Okay, so she's been in 9 weddings. So Monica has a ton of friends, a lot of them from high school, a lot of them from college. I, on the other hand, do not have that many, like, long-term friends. And so I was like, oh, I want to make more friends. Like, that's just kind of one of my goals. Like, I want to make more friends that are my age. Okay, that's really hard to do, I think, you know, especially, like we were saying, like, once you're out of college and all of that kind of stuff. But also, too, like, most people my age are, like, married and have kids and that kind of thing. And so it's really, really hard to make friends. And so at first I was like, oh my gosh, like, what do I have to do? Like, where do I meet them? And I was like, oh, should I join a book club? I mean, I like reading-ish, but like, I don't know if I want to join a book club, etc. And then I realized, like, I had belonged to this gym for a while, and then I stopped going because it was a little bit further of a commute. But I was like really loving all the women who were working out at that gym.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, like, it came to me one day, like, when I was praying about, like, how do I make friends? Like, oh my gosh, Lord, like, I just want more friends. Then he was like, why don't you just join that CrossFit gym again? And I was like, wait, what? And I was like, well, duh. Like, there were like 5 women there who I was like starting to really get to know. We were starting to bond. Like, we were having a great time. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that. Yes. Like, and that, like, I like CrossFit. I like working out. That's an easy win for me. They're there too. They also like that. We have that easy bond. And like, I think that's a great point. Sadly, I like wrenched my back and can't go there anymore, but I did connect with some of them, and now we're like connecting over social media and that kind of a thing, and hopefully we're gonna get coffee soon, so, you know. But I think that's a great point, is you know, maybe you need to join something or do something, but that like fires you up, then you can connect with other people who are also fired up. And I think this is gonna ruffle some feathers.
Ooh,
ready for it?
I am.
But I think join something that's not one more Catholic youth group, Catholic young adult group.
Sure.
Catholic, like, I don't know. Like, this is, it really depends on where you live. But in St. Louis, the, like, young adults, the Catholic young adults is, like, a really big thing here. They have, you know, ultimate frisbee leagues and volleyball leagues and soccer leagues and all these events and all this kind of stuff. But all my friends who are going to that are, like, yeah, it's the same 20 guys. It's the same 40 girls. It's the, you know, like, right. Almost all of us have dated all of them. Like, there's, you know, and like, that's fine. Like, it's again, good to have community of like-minded individuals and that kind of a thing. But if you're looking to grow in friendships and you're already friends with all these people, or no, you don't want to be super close to some of them, or like, it just doesn't vibe, like, you know, join something else. You don't have to
be together. The challenge here is diversify your interests.
Because
the other reality is that your time is limited and it's a precious resource. So, you know, work smarter, not harder. Like, stop doing everything in pursuit of something and just do less things really well.
Yeah.
And so, because I even think for those listening who are, you know, a big difference between single moving towards marriage and single as a vocation is that the vocational girlies here have a lot on their plates.
Yep.
Right? Apostolic assignments. They're living in family or community. So there's a little bit of a difference here where they kind of have some of the similarities a married person might have in some of their commitments. And so they may be thinking, well, I want friends, but I have limited time, energy, and resources. And for the same as the girls who are single moving towards marriage, a lot of the messaging that's pushed is like dating, 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 and also like hustle in your career. Like, there's a hustling that's happening, and which I'm not necessarily opposed to. It just means that to avoid burnout, and we should be pursuing things that are good, like, okay, friendships, like that evangelization of people maybe a little bit different, or pushing myself in that direction. But I also need to fill my cup.
Mm-hmm.
So do things that also bring you joy. So if those church groups bring you so much joy, keep at them. Great. Yep. Challenge yourself a little bit. We can't only stay in our comfort zone. So challenge yourself a little bit to be like, I'm going to talk to one new person here, or I'm going to do this or that. Great. Do that. But also think about, you know, using that time well while I build friendships. Cause the key here is the word build.
Right.
Right. Just happen.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny when you watch little kids play and they become friends automatically, like on the playground.
Love it.
Like it's fascinating to watch. And sometimes I think we should like look to them for inspiration, right? Like when my little niece is like on the playground and there's another little girl that seems close to her age, or like my brother just got married in October, you know, and there were a couple other little girls that like she didn't know at the wedding. And so we're all on the dance floor and suddenly, you know, like our little niece, Jessie, is just dancing next to the other little girl, has no idea who she is. The next thing we know, they're holding hands, they're skipping all over the place. And I'm like, instant friends. They're like, we're besties now, like take our picture. And like adult friendship doesn't work that way. But I think sometimes we make it more complicated than it needs to be as well, right? Yeah. Like sometimes it needs to be like, hey, like I'm doing this thing. The other thing I think too, to your point of like, sometimes we're really busy and we're like, I don't have time for more friends, right? I don't have time to like cultivate a new friendship because it takes time. But I have a friend who, she met this woman at church. The woman was like, oh, I'd love to get to know you. And she was like, I don't have the time. And so she's sitting there like, okay, like this woman like literally wants to become my friend. And I'm like, I don't have the time. I don't know when to do this. And so like on a whim, I'm sure total inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this woman said to her, she said, so I really don't have much time in my schedule, but every morning I go for a walk at 5:15 to 6 a.m. around where I live. If you want to do that with me and like join me like one day a week or something like that. And the woman goes, how often do you go? And she's like, well, I go every day. And she's like, I'll be there Monday through Friday. They have walked together Monday through Friday almost every day for 6 months. And they're like besties now.
That warms my heart for so many reasons.
Right? But so I was talking to this friend of mine who, you know, has this new friend as a result of this. And she was like, you know what? It was so great because it wasn't that I didn't want to make more time for a new friend. I just didn't know how I could. And so I was like, how can I work this into what I do now? You know, so like I often will say to people who I'm like trying to become friends with or friends myself, I'm like, hey, I'm planning to go hiking on Friday. Like, do you want to go with?
Nice.
You know, those kinds of things or like things that I'm like, oh, I'd really like to do this. Like, okay, like, can I take someone along with me? Can I just ask someone else to go?
Seriously.
You know, which is great.
And I think, because one of the things that came to mind as you were sharing that story was a woman who was not previously getting up at 5 a.m. to go for a walk and is choosing to do that. I mean, one, could it be me? Chris, I'm not a morning person. But what that said to me was she really wants friends. And so sometimes I think we have to think about ourselves less. Like, I'm so busy, and realize that the world is starved. The world is starved of friendship and of love.
Totally.
And we live in a very lonely world. America particularly, right? But I think in general. And so thinking that the world needs, people need what you have to offer. And in this single life, you have that. Like, God's giving you this opportunity in this state of life to be that person for the world in a way that you couldn't do otherwise.
Right.
And so I think it really is kind of a beautiful thing to kind of reconsider, you know, kind of thinking about that, like, other people need you.
Right. I think too, like, the reason we have such a epidemic, whatever, of loneliness, especially in our country, is I think we sometimes forget that we're social beings. Like, we were made for communion. We were made for community, for people, for friendship, right? Like, and I think sometimes we think like, I don't need, especially, well, anyway, if you're like a type A, like we are, right? You're like, I can do this on my own. Like, I don't need people.
I got this.
I can do this. I can get there. I can whatever. And like, but we crave community, right? We were made in the image and likeness of a triune God, not of a single entity, right? I mean, like, obviously God is one in three, but like, that's why we're social beings, that we were made in the image and likeness of a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I'm not hearing this for the first time. Obviously I've recognized, but I'm hearing it differently for the first time, that like, God and his nature lives in relationship.
Exactly. in constant relationship, right? In constant living relationship. And so this is why we are so, I think this is why we crave friendship so much. We crave relationship. We crave those of you who, you know, have the vocation in marriage, like crave that one to come along because we were made to crave community. Right. Yeah.
And it's in Genesis, right?
Totally.
I don't know exactly where, right? But it's like Adam,
God. Yeah, like it's not good,
that he is alone.
Right.
Right.
God's like, I'm gonna make a helper.
Other things. Thinking about that, Adam lived in a perfect world. Everything was perfect. Chill with all these animals. Come on, how many of us would want an exotic animal for a pet? How cool. And it wasn't enough.
No.
It did not satiate, it did not fill the same way a human being does. And exactly. You know, as we come into the colder months here, you know, in the States, it's harder to kind of go out. But I think when I shift my perspective and I can recognize that other people need this, I need this, this is a good, maybe I can challenge myself in ways to sort of be social. So Katie, I'm wondering if that's kind of a good, I don't know, challenge for us to think about. How did I push myself to be social this week?
And maybe I
didn't feel like necessarily like I wanted to, or like, how did I move towards more authentic friendship? And the caveat here is that it doesn't necessarily require external action. I think sometimes we have to like tune in and check in with ourselves. And so even if it's writing out what are interests and hobbies and things I could participate in, if going out feels like too big of a step, great. Lower that down for yourself a little bit and say, what are my interests and hobbies? What things do bring me joy? Like, how could I incorporate that into my life?
Or, you know, if you're looking for more friends, make a list of people who like are in your outer circle who you'd like, I actually would love to get to know her better. I would actually love to like be better friends with her, right? Like just make that list, right? And then be like, okay, like let that go. This is also reminding me too. I know someone who was realizing she didn't have many friends. And so she was like, you know what I'm going to do? Like she picked a saint who's like kind of an obscure saint and said, I'm just going to pray to her every day to bring just friends into my life. Right. So she starts praying this like, you know, prayer card to the saint and whatnot, like did it for like a week or two, like not much difference, whatever. And then like week three, she's literally checking out at the grocery store. And the woman who has like checked her out for years and years, right? Like at the register goes, you know what? Like I was thinking we should get coffee sometimes. Like I see you every week here.
No,
I know things about your family and your life. And she was like, okay. And then one of the parents at the school that her kids went to reached out and was like, I was just thinking like, I would love to just get a drink with you and like talk. And like, anyway, this happened to her like with four or five different people. And she was like, whoa, she stopped praying the prayer card after that. Cause she was like, I need a second.
Whoa.
Like, work with these five new friends who've suddenly popped up. But I think too, like,
amazing.
Again, with this idea of like, it's not all our effort, right?
Yeah.
Like we have to bring God into it. So like ask God, like God, who do you want me to be friends with? God, like who have you put in my path?
Yeah.
And I'm not serving the way I should.
That as Catholics, I mean, what a blessing that we have the communion of saints, that like we're actually not in this alone and that we have this entire army in heaven really rooting for us. Like they want us there with them. And so, you know, why would we not use them to our advantage and say like, okay, well, like help me on this path. I just quickly Googled and looked up like patron saint of like friendship and stuff for any of our listeners who want to like pray to a saint to help them with this. So a few that came up was John the Apostle, right? The beloved disciple.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I've had like, he's known for his faithful friendship to Jesus, right? Like he's the only one who really stuck it in there.
Around.
And just thick and thin, true friend. Francis of Assisi, right? He cultivated spiritual friendship with St. Clare and so forth. And then St. Basil the Great and St. Gregory.
Nice.
So just thoughts for our listeners.
Yeah, I love that. This is a great conversation. We went a little longer than normal, but I think it's good. Hopefully, you know, people are inspired to seek friendships, to go deeper in their friendships. I mean, there's so much more we can talk about. I think we could do other episodes on letting friendships go, what that looks like.
Yeah,
the pain of that, but also, you know, the need sometimes. Yeah. But anyway.
We're even having our listeners DM us on social media and share kind of what your personal experiences are with friendship or like things that would be helpful to maybe talk about or hear, you know, in this topic. It's a very big topic for just a short podcast, but that's all we have for this week on Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are in your journey, remember that God is with you. And this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving this podcast, please take a moment to rate and review. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join us on social media. We'd love to hear from you and hear your thoughts. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.